بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today is our 16th session for the basic Arabic grammar review, and he's covering some of the main grammatical principles from Medina Book 1, first level, al-mustawa, al-awwal. And today, we should be starting from page 23. And I think, and apparently I sent the wrong page numbers out for today. But in any case, today we'll be looking at page 23 and 24 and 25 and 26, Annie, whatever we can cover from those pages. In the past couple of sessions, we were dealing with a number of topics, the na'at and man'ut, and we were also dealing with some references from the Quran, yani with related to adjectives. And the last topic that we saw connected to that was simple sentences from the Quran. We were looking at a number of simple sentences from the Quran for translation and any grammatical examination or analysis. Last week we started a new topic, yani somewhat, I guess, on page 23, that is examples of simple grammatical analysis of sentences. And this is what is known as al-i'rab, meaning yani to look at the endings of the words, to see how they change, the endings, how they change, to indicate the function of a word in a sentence. Depending on the function of the word in a sentence, for example, in a jumla ismiya, a nominal sentence, there's two essential components, the mubtada and the khabar. So if a word is a mubtada, yani it has a function. And what identifies its function is the i'rab, the ending of the word, yani ending with dhamma or kasra or fatha, due to its function. So if a word is a mubtada, it should be marfu'an, and the primary sign that a noun is marfu'an is dhamma. And likewise, the khabar is also marfu'an. So the sign that it's marfu'an, as we have written here, just as a reminder for us, and so we can take a look at this, al-mubtada'u is marfu'an, and al-khabaru, and the predicate, is also marfu'an. In a jumla fi'liya, we said that the two or three any essential components are the fi'l and the fa'il. And sometimes there's also maf'ulun bi. So the fa'il, the one that does the action of the verb, is also marfu'un, like the mubtada and khabar. As far as the maf'ulun bi, the object of the verb, the one or the thing that the action falls upon or occurs to, the maf'ulun bi is mansub, yani in the accusative case. And the primary sign of a noun being mansub is that it ends with fatha. And again, I say primary sign, yani because there are also secondary signs, right? So, yani for now, we'll concentrate on the primary signs, the fatha, kasra, and dhamma. Wa alaykum salam. So, for the most part, if the sentence is a jumla ismiya, a nominal sentence, we're going to look for the mubtada and khabar, both of them being marfu'un, and the sign of raf, the sign that a word is marfu'un, is dhamma. If we're looking at a verbal sentence, a jumla fi'liya, then we're going to be looking mainly for the fa'il, which is also marfu'un, the sign that it is marfu'un is dhamma, and we're looking for the maf'ulun bi, if there is one. Maf'ulun bi is mansub, the sign of a noun being mansub, primary sign is fatha. The other things that we're going to look for are the prepositions and the object of the preposition. So we have harfu jar and al-ism al-majroor. The preposition and the noun, that's the object of the preposition, is going to be majroor. And the sign, primary sign of a noun being majroor, is kasra. And we also going to look for the dharf, the adverb, the dharf, and the noun that is connected to it in idhafa, al-mudhafu ilayhi. The noun that's connected in idhafa to the dharf is going to be also majroor. So the object of a preposition is ism, al-ism al-majroor, And the mudaf ilay, yani that which is connected in the idafa to the adverb, is also majrur. Sign, primary sign that a noun is majrur is kasra. The other thing that we want to pay attention to is that there are some words that are not mu'rab. The endings don't change from dhamma to kasra to fatha, but rather the endings are fixed. They have fixed endings. We say this is mabniyun. Mabniyun means the ending is fixed. In reference to this words, yani the more precise explanation or grammatical analysis of such words is that we say it is mabniyun fi mahalli ar-raf'i. Yani fi mahalli, in the place where it is supposed to be marfu'un. You say fi mahalli ar-raf. Ar-raf represents marfu'un. Or fi mahalli al-jar, in the place where it should be majrurun. Or fi mahalli al-nasb, in the place where it should be mansub. So these are some of the fundamental things that we want to look at. Basic, yani, analysis of a jumla ismiya or jumla fi'liya. For the most part, it should be yani jumla ismiya. But if we see jumla fi'liya, we're going to be looking for the fi'l and the maf'ulun bi. The fi'l should be marfu'un, and the maf'ulun bi should be mansub. There are a lot of examples of sentences here, any 4 pages. So it's plenty for us to catch on. If you are not familiar with I'rab, and if you were with us when we were doing, and when we were going through book one, then inshallah we try to, as much as possible, look at the I'rab of sentences so we get used to yani analyzing the sentence and recognizing those things that we should be looking for. And again, yani I repeat it because I know that some people might not be familiar with it. Maybe you were not with us, or yani, for whatever reason, if you're not familiar with it, then the things that we should be looking for, first and foremost, the first thing that you do is try to identify if a sentence is a jumla ismiya or jumla fi'liya. That's the first thing you do, just to make it simple. If it's a jumla ismiya, you're looking for mubtada and khabar. If it's a jumla fi'liya, you're looking for fi'l, fa'l, and maf'ulun bi. That really makes the i'rab simple. You know what you're looking for. And then you have to know, okay, the mubtada is marfu'un, khabar is marfu'un, fa'il is marfu'un, maf'ulun bi is mansub. Okay? If you understand these basic things, and as we go through them, we'll keep repeating it again and again and again, because this is really of great importance, that you understand how to grammatically analyze a sentence. And that you understand yani what this I'rab actually indicates, what it points to, and it helps you to understand properly the correct meaning of a sentence or an expression. Fayyib, any question before we look at the examples here, or the examples? Any question? Yani, when we say I'rab, we mean the words that the endings change. Okay, a word is mu'rab if its ending changes from fatha to kasra to dhamma, due to its function in the sentence or its position in the sentence.
All pronouns are mabniyun.
Huh?
All pronouns are mabniyun.
All pronouns are mabniyun, yes. Alright, so if a word is mu'rab, then we will look to see it changing, its ending, to indicate if it is mubtada or khabar or ism majroor or mansoob, yani maf'ulun bi mansoob or whatever. Okay, if it's mu'rab, if it's mabniyun, then we're not going to see the ending changing, but still we're going to look at its function. And if it's in the place where it should be marfu'un, because it's mubtada or khabar or fa'il, then we're going to say it's mabniyun in the place where it's supposed to be marfu'un. Yani fi mahalli raf, or fi mahalli jar, or fi mahalli nasb. Okay, in the place where it's supposed to be marfu'un, or mansubun, or majrurun. So these are the basic things that we'll be looking at, and inshallah, hopefully as we go through the examples, it'll become more and more clear. And if anybody has a question, just stop us as we're going through it. Okay, let's look at it. We're on page 23, some examples of simple grammatical analysis of sentences. We did the first one at the top of the page, and the second one, and the third one, and the fourth one. We did 4 of them. The first 4 in the right column, we did those, okay? So if anybody has a question about those first four, we can look at it, and then before we go on to the last one, the last example on the right column. Now, Adam. Ism Ishara. Where is that at? At the top of the page?
Yes.
Okay, at the top of the page. Okay, everybody should be looking at the top of the page. Right column, right column. Hadha kitabun. This is a book. Okay, the breakdown of hadha, right, is hadha is ismu al-isharati mubtada'un. And kitabun is khabarun. Okay, his question is, what is the meaning of ism? Ismu al-isharati. What is the meaning of ismu al-isharati? Alright? Now. Okay, something that is used to point to something, right? Ism ishara, in English grammar they say it's demonstrative pronoun. Demonstrative pronoun. But it's used for pointing. You say, this is my son. That is my car. Okay? If it's for something near, we say it's ismu al-ishara lil-qareeb, for that which is qareeb. If it's for something far, we say ismu al-ishara lil-ba'eed, for something far. Okay, hadha is used for something near, and dhalika is used for something far. Feminine, hadihi is used for something near, and tilka is used for something far. Okay, so the ism ishara can be masculine, feminine, singular, dual, or plural. Alright, this ism ishara means the demonstrative pronoun. Yani something that's used for pointing to whatever you are talking about. This or that, or these or those. Type any other question, Wayak. Any other question before we proceed with the examples that follow? Alright, so on the bottom of the right column, the last example, Al-Arabiyyatu Lugatun Sahlatun. The Arabic, yani meaning the Arabic language, is an easy language. The Arabic or the Arabic language is an easy language. Okay, we have three words here. The first word, al-arabiyyatu. They said al-arabiyyatu is mubtada'un. Mubtada'un. And it means it's the subject of the sentence. Lugatun, they said, is khabarun. Meaning it's the predicate. Okay, a nominal sentence has a subject and a predicate. In Arabic, al-mubtada'u and al-khabaru. Tayyib. The last word, they said, sahlatun is a na'at. Na'atun. A na'at, we mean a sifa, yani an adjective that's used to describe or to qualify another noun. Okay, so the simple grammatical analysis of this sentence, al-arabiyyatu lugatun sahlatun. Al-arabiyyatu is the mubtada, the subject. Lugatun is the khabar, the predicate. Yani, the Arabic language, what do we want to say about it? It's a language. Lugatun. What kind of language? We need an adjective. Sahlatun. An easy language. Just to add to what they have mentioned here, we want to say, Al-Arabiyyatu is mubtada'un, and mubtada, al-mubtada is always marfu'un. As part of the Arab, we want to say it's the mubtada, and therefore, its case ending is that it is marfu'un. Yani its case is that it's marfu'un, and the sign that it's marfu'un is dhamma. That's why we have al-arabiyyatu. It's mubtada, and the mubtada is always marfu'un. The primary sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma. Okay, same thing we want to look at, the next word, lugatun. Al-arabiyyatu lugatun. It is a language. Lugatun is what we want to say about Arabic. What do we want to say about it? It's a language. That's the khabar. The khabar means news or information. What do we want to say about the subject? We want to say that it's a language. Arabic is a language. Okay? And the khabar, yani the predicate, the khabar in Arabic is always also, al-khabar is marfu'un. The sign that is marfu'un is dhamma. And finally, there's a third word. That word is an adjective describing language. What kind of language? An easy language. So when there's an adjective describing another word, we call this adjective a na'at. And the na'at, its case is dependent upon the word that it's describing or qualifying. If the adjective is describing a word that's marfu'un, the adjective also has to be marfu'un. If the adjective is describing a word that's mansub, that adjective has to be mansub. So an adjective is a tabi'ah, yani from tawabi'ah, mean those words that don't have an independent i'rab, case ending. Rather, their i'rab or case ending is determined by the word that they are describing. Determined by the man'ut. Alright, so since sahlun, or sorry, sahlatun is describing lugatun, and lugatun is marfu'un, so sahlatun also has to be marfu'un. Any question?
Yeah, so if sahlatun or another word was a marfu'un.
Another word what?
There was another word that was there in the
Arab
word.
Uh-huh.
The
Arab
would be...
The Arab of the
Nat, yes,
would change according to the word that it's describing, yes.
That's called
Tawabi'ah? Yeah, I mean, a Nat is from a group of words, yani, that are called Tawabi'ah. Tawabi'ah means that those words follow something else. Yani, they don't have the independent case. Rather, their case is determined by the word that they follow, meaning the word that they're connected to. So an adjective is connected to the word that it's describing. Yani the na'at is following the man'ut. If the man'ut is marfu'un, then the na'at has to be marfu'un. If that man'ut there in that sentence was mansub, then sahla would have to be mansub. If it was majrur, sahla would have to be majrur. Okay, same page, left column, top of the page. Al-qalamu maqsurun. Al-qalamu maqsurun. The pen is broken. The pen is broken. Okay? How did they explain it? They said, al-qalamu is mubtada'un. It's the subject. What do you want to say about the pen? Maqsurun. It is broken. The pen is broken. So, looking a little bit further into it, we're saying al-qalamu is mubtada'un, and mubtada'un is always marfu'un. The sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma. The sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma. نعم طيب مكسور is the خبر خبر is also مرفوع primary sign of a word وعليكم السلام when it is مرفوع is دمة next example الحقيبة تحت المكتبي الحقيبة تحت المكتبي the bag يعني الحقيبة the bag or the briefcase or pocketbook الحقيبة تحت المكتبي the bag is under the desk يعني it is underneath or beneath underneath the desk تحت المكتبي okay we have three words here the first word الحقيبة is the word that the sentence begins with. If the word that a sentence begins with is a noun, then that's a nominal sentence. يعني الجملة اسمية. Therefore, we're looking for a مبتدأ and خبر. So we see, الحقيبة is a noun. Therefore, this is a جملة اسمية. A جملة, a sentence that begins with an اسم. And that اسم that the جملة اسمية begins with is the مبتدأ. يعني sometimes the order of مبتدأ and خبر can be reversed. Sometimes, if we see any examples of that, we'll discuss it in detail. But for now, we say the general rule is مبتدأ, يعني it's from the word بدأ, to begin. And therefore, the sentence begins with the مبتدأ. Okay, so الحقيبة is the مبتدأ. And the مبتدأ, we said, is always what? Case? مرفوع. And the sign of a word being مرفوع is dhamma. Second word is tahta. Tahta is a dharf, yani an adverb. It's a dharf, an adverb. And they said that this dharf is shibhu al-jumlati khabarun, meaning, yani, the dharf connected to the noun that follows it resembles a sentence. Meaning, yani, it's more than one word. It's not a complete sentence, but it's not an individual word, because the dharf is connected to what? It's connected to another word that is mudhafun ilayhi. So they're saying that this is a shibhu al-jumla. And as the shibhu jumla, it is the khabar, yani the khabar of this sentence. Al-haqibatu is the mubtada, and tahta is the khabar, and al-maktaba, al-maktabi with kasra, is mudhafun ilayhi majroor. Okay. Let's just look a little bit at it without going into a lot of detail, but let's just look a little bit at it. The mubtada is clear, right? Mubtada is marfoon. Sign that is marfoon is dhamma. Tahta is a dharf. What is a dharf? An adverb. Yani, we're going to look at the adverb. Yani, the dharf al-makan shows the place or position of something. Here, showing that it's what? Underneath. Could be above, fawqa. It could be in front of, amama. It could be behind something, khalfa or wara. Right? Showing position. Where's that thing at? Is it in front and back, to the right, to the left, above, below, right? Like this, okay? So the dharf, generally speaking, some of the dhuruf are mabniyun. But generally speaking, the dharf we say is mansoob. The dharf is mansoob. So you see, you have fawqa, you have tahta, amama, khalfa. Any of these words usually end with fatha, unless they are mabniyun. Mabniyun on fixed on dhamma or kasra or something else. Alright? But generally speaking, the dharf is mansoob. So it has fatha. Alright? So just as a point here, note the word tahta in this sentence is a dharf, and a dharf is generally mansoob with fatha. But also, they're saying that it's a shibh jumla, meaning the dharf and the word that follows it, which is connected to it in idhafa, yani al-maktabi, yani tahta al-maktabi. These two words together are the shibh jumla, and the shibh jumla in this case here is the khabar of this sentence. What about the haqiba? It's underneath the desk. Okay, al-maktabi is mudhafun ilayhi. The word following the dharf, we say it is mudhafun ilayhi majroor. Mudhafun, al-mudhaf ilayhi majroor. The sign that a word is majroor, primary sign is kasra. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Tayyib, any question? Third example, left column, naam. Yeah, okay, just make a note that sometimes the dharf is confused with the harf jar, because both of them function similarly in that the word following them is majroor, okay? But technically, they are not the same, okay? Their function is not the same. The dharf is indicating, in this case, dharf al-makan is indicating the place of something, where it is. So this has its own function that's different than a preposition. Okay, it has its own function. But in terms of what happens with the i'rab, the word following them, each is majroor. But one of them we say is ism majroor, yani by the preposition, biharf jar, and the other one we say is mudhafun ilayhi, mudhafun ilayhi. So both of them end up to be majroor, but they are not the same. They are not the same. They don't have the same function. They don't have the same meaning, but they end up both being majroor, yani the word following them. Okay, so in that sense, sometimes they look the same, or they look like they're acting the same, and sometimes people confuse them. But a dharf, yani if it's dharf al-makan, it's indicating the place of something. Okay, third example, right column, baytu at-tajiri amama al-masjidi. بيت التاجر أمام المسجد. The merchant's house is in front of the mosque. يعني the بيت التاجر, the house of the merchant. يعني literally the house of the merchant or the merchant's house is أمام المسجد. Is أمام المسجد, in front of the masjid. All right, let's look at these four words. Yani the first two words, bayt al-tajri, are connected together. Huh? And the second two words, amam al-masjidi, are also connected together. Okay, so let's look at the relations between them and their functions. First word, bayt, yani from bayt al-tajri, bayt is mubtada'un wa huwa mudhafun. Yani it's mubtada'un, and we say it is also mudhaf, because it's connected to the word following it in an idafa construction. So the first word of the idafa construction is the mudaf, and the second word of the mudaf construction is the mudaf and ilay. And the mudaf, from the rules of idafa, we said what? What are some of the rules of idafa? The mudaf, what do we say about it? What do we know about the mudaf, the first part of the idafa construction? Yani, what is this idafa construction? Bayt al-tajri, right? Let's just look at it quickly, just to refresh our memory. Bayt al-tajri. Okay, so what do we say about the first part of the idafa construction? What do we know about it? Rules. Now, it doesn't take alif lam or tanween. It never takes alif lam or tanween. And in that, in reference to that matter, what do we say about the second part of the idafa construction? That it takes alif lam or tanween, one or the other, not both of them. But if it has alif lam, it can't take tanween. If it doesn't have alif lam, then we'll generally take tanween. Okay. What else do we know about the first part of the idafa construction or the second part? Adam? Yeah, the first part, the mudaf, can have any case ending. It could be dhamma, it could be kasra, it could be fatha. If it was the object of a verb, it would take fatha. If it was the object of a preposition, it would take kasra, and so on, like this. It can have any case ending. As far as the second part of the idafa construction, no? It's always going to be majroor. Mudaf ilayhi, the mudaf ilayhi is always majroor, and the primary sign of it being majroor is kasra. Alright, so this is like just quick review of idafa, right? Because we're going to see some idafa constructions here, and we need to remember the first part of idafa construction never takes alif lam or tanween. The second part will take either one of them, either alif lam or tanween. The first part can have any case ending, fatha, kasra, or dhamma. The second part is always majroor with kasra as its primary sign. Okay, so let's look at it again. It says baytu is mubtada'un wa huwa mudaf. Okay, as mubtada, it should be, we say, what is this case? As mubtada, marfu'un. Marfu'un, not mansub, not majrur. Mubtada is always marfu'un. The primary sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma. That's why we have baytu. The second word is at-tajiri is mudafun ilayhi. It's connected to bayt in idafa. It's the second part, the mudafun ilayhi. And the mudafun ilayhi is always majrur. The primary sign of a word being majrur is what? Kasra. Kasra. Alright, so we see baytu at-tajri. The third word and the fourth word are also connected. Amama al-masjidi. Amama is dharfun. So dharf, showing place, position. Where's the masjid? Where's the house of the merchant? It is in front of the masjid. In front of. Amama al-masjidi. Shubh jumla khabar. Yani it's the khabar of the sentence. Bayt is the mubtada and amama is the khabar. Yani mudaf, yani dharf, and the second word connected to it is mudafun ilayhi al masjidi, mudafun ilayhi majroor. The second part of this construction, amama al masjidi, is mudafun ilayhi majroor. The sign that a word is majroor is its vowel ending being kasra. Alright, the next example, fourth example in the left column, هذه الدراجة لابن المؤذني. هذه الدراجة لابن المؤذني. Okay, let me write this on the board so we can look at it a little bit. Somebody read it to me. هذه what? الدراجة لابن المؤذن. هذه الدراجة لابن المؤذن. المؤذني. Okay, let's look at this a little bit. Okay, let's see what they said here, and then let's see what we want to add to it. هذه الدراجة لابن المؤذن. This bicycle belongs to or is for, yani you can translate it either way, belongs to or is for the son of the muezzin. Son of the muezzin. هذه is اسم إشارة مبتدأٌ. Yani demonstrative pronoun. هذه, هذا, هذه, ذلك, تلك, هؤلاء, أولئك. These are all demonstrative pronouns. Alright? It's a demonstrative pronoun, but in terms of its function in the sentence, it's the mubtada. And the mubtada, we said, is always marfu'un. The sign that it's marfu'un is dhamma. The second word, ad-darrajatu, is badalun. Badalun, okay? Badalun, what do we mean by badal? We mean that, yani there are certain words that can be exchanged for another word. It can take its place. Okay? Yani either one of them can be used independent of the other, but if we use them together, it brings about a more clearer meaning. Now, alright, so bedel here, yani the first word, the ism ishara, and this is one type of bedel that we saw in book one, yani meaning when you have an ism ishara, any ism ishara, singular, dual, plural, masculine, feminine, whatever, yani ism ishara followed by a noun that has alif lam. Okay, whenever you see ism ishara, follow immediately by a noun that has alif lam, you know that word with alif lam is the bedel. It can take the place of the ism ishara. So, for example, in this sentence, هذه الدراجة لابن المؤذن, you can replace هذه with just الدراجة. الدراجة لابن المؤذن. The bicycle belongs to the son of the مؤذن, or the مؤذن's son. Okay? You can do that. You can even take, يعني, out the word, the بدل, and just use the اسم إشارة and say, هذه لابن المؤذن. This belongs to the son of the مؤذن. Without mentioning bicycle, pointing to the bicycle, saying this. And he pointing to it, this belongs to the son of the mu'adhin. So in either one of these can be exchanged for the other. Okay, this is what we mean by bedel, to take the place of something else. Bedel. This is in place of that, in exchange for that. Can be exchanged. Alright? Tayyib. So ad-darraja is bedel. And the bedel, yani, because hadihi is the mubtada. Okay, what is the i'rab of هذه in this sentence? We say it's اسم إشارة مبتدا. The مبتدا is نعم مرفوع. Or we would say, to be a little more specific, who says مبني في محل رفع. Okay, we'll say what? That it's مبني, a fixed ending, doesn't change هذه, في محل الرفع, in the place where it should be مرفوع, nominative case. Okay. Therefore, the bedel for it also has to be marfu'un. So that's why we have هذه الدراجة. دراجة. Why is it دراجة? Because هذه is the مبتدا. It's in the place where it should be marfu'un. So its bedel also is going to be marfu'un. Alright? هذه الدراجة لابن المؤذن. Okay, after دراجة says what? لي حرف جر. حرف جر. Okay, harf jar is a what? Preposition. Another example of a preposition is what? Fi or ala, ila, min, like this, huh? Taib. These are prepositions that we had in book one. Ila and min and fi and ala. So this is a preposition, li. And li, it means showing possession. This belongs to someone or this is for someone. Okay, li ibni. Ibni is ismun majrurun wa huwa mudhafun. Yani ismun majrur. Why is it majrur? Ism majrur? Because following the preposition, it's the object of the preposition. The object of the preposition, we say what? Harfu jar, preposition. What follows it? Al ism al majrur. Ism majrur. Object of the preposition is the noun that is majrur. The sign that is majrur is kasra. That's why we have libni. Libni. And also we should note here that in this word ibn, yani the word ibn, it begins with a letter that is sakin, yani sukoon. In Arabic we don't allow words to begin with sukoon, so we're adding this hamzatul wasl here, right? But notice When we're reading the word, we're not saying li ibni, we're saying libni, right? Because hamzatul wasl, if you don't begin with it, it just means, yani, it just means join whatever is before to whatever is after. So we're just saying li, yani, without the kasra of the hamzatul wasl, that's just added for pronunciation if we begin with it. But if we don't begin with it, we don't need this. So now it's just li being joined directly to the ba, libni. Libni, okay? So just make a note of that, right? That word is written with Hamzatul Wasl. Hamzatul Wasl, the vowel of Hamzatul Wasl, whatever its vowel is, whether it's Fatha, Kasra, or Dhamma, it's not pronounced if there's a word or a particle before it. It's not pronounced. It just, at that point, it just, what it, its function then is Wasl, to connect, to join something. Join what's before it to what's after it. What's before the Hamzatul Wasl to what's after it. Okay, that's why we have Libni, not Li Ibni. Libni al-Mu'adhini. Tayyib? Alright. Okay, so we have Li is harfu, jarrin, preposition. And we have Ibni, yani, ismun majrurun. Yani, the noun that's in the genitive case because it's following the because it's the object of the preposition. And then it says, wa, not only that is it ism majrur, but wa huwa mudafun. It is also mudaf, meaning it is the mudaf, the first part of a construct phrase. Okay? And the word that follows it, al-mu'adhini, is the mudafun ilayhi. And mudafun ilayhi is always majrur. The sign that it's majrur is kasra. So we have libni, yani ibni, here becoming yani majrur because of the preposition li. So it's majrur, the sign that it's majrur is kasra, and it's also mudaf. The word following it, al-mu'adhini, is mudafun ilayhi majrur. Also, the sign that is majrur is kasra. And then they said, this, yani, phrase here, libni al-mu'adhini, libni al-mu'adhini, for the son of the mu'adhin, is a shibh jumla khabr. Yani, it's the shibh jumla khabr. So the mubtada is hadhihi, and the khabr is this whole expression here. Yani the preposition and the object of the preposition. And they are saying with it, yani, the mudafun ilayhi also. But basically, the shibh jumla is the preposition and the isam majrur that's connected to it. Anyway, the whole thing together we say is the khabar. So the mubtada, this is the khabar belonging to the son of the mu'adhin. This is belonging to the son of the mu'adhin. This is badal, right? So this is the mubtada, hadihi. And this is the khabar, the ibni. Now, no, it's not always marfu. But in this case, we're saying it's marfu. Why? Because hadhi is a mubtada, and the mubtada is marfu. But it's mabniyun fi mahalli raf, right? So the badal has to be the same case. If this was in the place where it was mansub, then this would be mansub. Now, if hadhi was fi mahalli jar, then this will have to be majrur. It's clear? No. Yeah. No. No.
Is there another meaning for darajat or
daraja? That's not darajat. Darajat is one word. Daraja is another word. Huh? Look. This word has dar shadda on the ra. Darajat doesn't have any shadda on the ra. And then it also has what? Yani, I mean, you said it in the plural, the darajat. But daraja, yani, doesn't have to have alif, yani, in the singular, but it doesn't have shadda on the ra. Daraja, daraja. So they are, yani, both from the root da, del, ra, and jim. Now, and be careful from these kind of words, right? A lot of times words, they look similar, like madrasa and mudarrisa. They're written exactly the same. Yani, these kind of words, you have to be careful. Maktab and maktaba. A lot of times we get mixed up between maktabatun and maktabun. With ta marbuta, without ta marbuta. These words, we have to pay careful attention to them. Try to focus on words like that, because it's easy to get confused between them until you know them very, very well. Alright, so any question about this example? هذه الدراجة لابن المؤذن. This bicycle belongs to the son of the مؤذن. You can also translate it as the mu'adhin son. But literally, it's the son of the mu'adhin. That's how we want to look at a construct phrase. Huh? We want to look at it like that. The masjid of this city. Now. Hadihi ad-darraja, is it what? Mudaf? No, not mudaf, no. Yeah, it's just badal. Darraja is badal. Tayyib? Okay, next example. Last example, left column, page 23. Al-lughatu al-arabiyyatu sahlatun. The example in the right column beside it almost looks the same, right? Who can tell us what's the difference between the example on the right column, last example on the right column, and the one we're looking at now? What's the difference between them? Naam, Abdurrahman.
So order is different, the wording is coming.
Okay, the wording is a little bit different, right? The order of the wording. In the previous example, in the right column, we have Al-Arabiyyatu Lugatun, and in this example, we have Al-Lugatu Al-Arabiyya. Okay, and both of them end with Sahlatun. Alright, so, okay, so the order of the words are different. And also, what else is different? Okay, al-lughatu is mubtada. As far as arabiyatu is what? It's a not. Okay, so in the example in the right column, al-arabiyatu, lughatun sahlatun, al-arabiyatu is the mubtada, and lughatun is the khabar. In this sentence, Al-lughatu is the mubtada and sahlatun is the khabar. Sahlatun is the khabar. Okay, let's look at this example here and then maybe it'll become more clear what's the difference between these two sentences. Okay, in the left column, last example, left column, the Arabic language is easy. Al-lughatu al-arabiyyatu sahlatun. The Arabic language. Al-lugha al-arabiyya. The Arabic language is sahlatun. Is easy. Al-lughatu is mubtada'un. Mubtada'un is marfu'un. Yani nominative case. The sign, primary sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma. That's why we have al-lughatu. Al-arabiyyatu is a na'at. A na'at is an adjective. The adjective follows the word that it is describing or qualifying. So since al-lughatu is marfu'un, al-arabiyyatu being an adjective for it must also be marfu'un. Primary sign of it being marfoon is dhamma. The last word, sahlatun, is the khabar. Is the khabar. Yani, the predicate of the sentence. What we want to say about the Arabic language, what? It's easy. Sahlatun. And the khabar, we say, is always marfoon. Sign that is marfoon is dhamma. Tayyib. Huh? Is a not where? In which example? In the first one in the right column or in the second one in the left column? In the second one in the left column, is sahlatun a not? It's not a not, it's a khabar. It's a khabar. If it was a not, it has to agree with the word that it's describing. So which word is it describing? Al-lugha or al-arabiyya? Both of them are definite with alif lam, and sahlun is indefinite with tanween. Can't be a not describing. Yani a word that's indefinite cannot be a not describing a word that's definite. It has to agree with it. Okay, so it's not a not, rather it is a khabar. And remember last week we said, yani there's a difference between the not and the khabar. Okay, they have a different function, although they might seem to indicate the same kind of meaning in the sentence. And in both of these sentences, in the right column and in the left column, sahala is telling us something about the language or the Arabic language. So it's telling us something about it. But in one case, it's saying the language is easy. In the first example, arabiyatu lughatun sahlatun. It's telling us, it's describing lugha as being easy. In the second example, sahlatun is telling us about the Arabic language. It's a khabar. Telling us about the Arabic language that it's easy. It's a khabar. It's not a not. Okay? And both of them seem to be functioning the same way. They're telling us something is easy, right? But one as a not, an adjective, and the other as a predicate, a khabar. So they're not really the same, although, yani, it may appear on the surface that they are the same, but they are not. Now.
If you make it mudaf construct, like lugatul arabiyyah sahlatan.
Yeah, we don't want to make it an idafa construction. Now, we want to keep it simple, okay? Yeah, and if you make it an idafa construction, you just have to follow the rules of idafa. Yeah, and if you make an idafa construction, you just have to follow the rules. Yeah, and you follow the rules of idafa, and then you're okay. But you may change the meaning in that case. You may bring a different meaning altogether. And that's not the meaning that's intended here. Now. And it's common that the mubtada is definite and the khabar is indefinite, but it's not mandatory. Yani there are examples of either way, both ways. But yes, that's more common. All right, let's turn to page 24. Top of the page, right column, and look at some of these examples that they have given here. Remember that what we're looking for first and foremost is the sentence, a nominal sentence, jumla ismiya, that begins with a ism, a noun, or is it a jumla fi'liya, if that comes, yani a sentence that begins with a fi'l, a verb. And if it's a jumla ismiya, we're looking for mubtada and khabar. And that's mostly what we have been seeing, right? Mubtada and khabar. Both mubtada and khabar are marfu'un. And the sign of a word being marfu'un is dhamma. If it's the object of a preposition, should be majrur with kasra. If it's the mudhafun ilayhi, to a dharf or otherwise, in any kind of idhafa construction, then the mudhafun ilayhi is also majrur with kasra. These are the main things that we're going to be looking for. Let's try to pay attention. We're looking for mubtada and khabar. The khabar can be a single word, one word mufrad, or it can be a jaa wal majroor, yani a preposition and the noun that's the object of the preposition, or a dharf and the mudaf ilayhi, the noun that's connected to it in idafa, in which case these two types of constructions, the preposition and the noun that follows it, and the dharf and the nouns that follow it, we say this is a shibh jumla. And so the khabar can be a shibh jumla, and also we'll see later on that the khabar can also be a sentence, a full sentence of either type, a nominal sentence or a verbal sentence. Now,
if a sentence begins with shibh jumla, is it jumla ismiya or jumla?
Yeah, if a sentence begins with a shibh jumla, then the shibh jumla, yani we have to look at the mubtada. Yani the shibh jumla, right, is if it begins with it, that means it's out of place, meaning it's advanced ahead of its place. So now we have to look at what comes after it, which is really the mubtada. Is that mubtada a noun? Then it's a jumla ismiya. Noun. And we have to look for the mubtada. Even if the mubtada is delayed, muakhar, then we look for the mubtada. And yani, if the mubtada for that sentence, yani after the shibh jumla, there's a mubtada that has been delayed, it's a noun. Therefore, we say it is jumla ismiya. Five. The first example in the right column, al kursiyu al maksuru fi tilka al ghurfati. Al kursiyu al maksuru. The broken chair. Fi is in tilka al ghurfati. In that room. The broken chair is in that room. Okay, al-kursiyu is mubtada. Mubtada is what? Marfu'un. The sign that is marfu'un is dhamma. Al-maqsuru is a na'at. And this na'at, it is, what is this case ending? Dhamma. Why? Because it's marfu'un. And it's marfu'un because it has to agree with the word that it's describing. Okay, al-kursi is the man'ut, the word being described. Al-maqsur is the knot describing. The knot has to follow the word that it's describing. So al-kursiyu is mubtada and marfu'. So al-maqsur is a knot, also marfu'un. The sign that is marfu'un is dhamma. Al-maqsuru. Fi is harfu jar, preposition. And after the preposition comes ism majrur, right? But following this preposition is the ism ishara. Tilka is the ism ishara. They said majrur, but more accurately, what would be more accurate to say is that ism ishara mabniyun fi mahalli jar. Fi mahalli jar. Instead of saying it's majroor, it's mabniyun. Ism ishara is mabniyun. So we say fi mahalli raf or jar or nasb. In this case, fi mahalli jar. In this case, fi mahalli jar. Why is it fi mahalli jar? Huh? Because it's the object of the preposition fi. Okay? Because it's the object of the preposition fi, tilka. So tilka is ism ishara mabniyun fi mahalli jar. In the place where it should be majroor. Ism ishara in the place where it should be majroor fi mahalli jar. Al-ghurfati, is badalun. Badalun. Why is it badalun? Because tilka ism ishara followed by a noun with alif lam is badal. Can take its place. They can be exchanged for each other. Is in that ghurfa. So the badal has to have the same ruling as the mubdal minhu. Tilka is fi mahalli jar. So al-ghurfa has to be like it also, majroor, with kasra. And this whole expression, fi tilka al-ghurfati, is shibba jumla khabar. Yani it's a shibba jumla, jawal majroor, yani a preposition and the ism majroor. And that is one type of shibba jumla. The other one is the dharf and the noun that's connected to it in idhafa. Both of these are shibba jumla, two types. Yani a prepositional phrase or adverbial phrase. Both of them, when they come, we'll say it is what? Yani shibba jumla khabar. Yani the shibba jumla is the khabar of this sentence. The mubtada of this sentence is al-kursiyu, the chair. And the khabar of this sentence is fi tilka al-ghurfati, the chair is in that room. Then we have another word that we added there describing what kind of chair, the broken chair. So we can say that also, the broken chair is in that room. But originally the mubtada is the chair. And the khabar is in that room. Yani fi tilka al-ghurfati. Any question? Type going down to the next example, second example. عنده سيارة. Okay, maybe this is your example of فائز. عنده عنده what? سيارة. سيارة. عنده سيارة. طيب. You asked a minute ago, right? What if the sentence begins with a shibba jumla, right? So this is a sentence that begins with a shibba jumla. This is a shibba jumla. عنده ظرف ومضاف إليه. This is a shibba jumla. This is the khabar muqaddam. This is a khabar that has been advanced ahead of its place. Instead of following, it came first. Therefore, سيارتون is the mubtada مؤخر. يعني been delayed. Okay, this is advanced. Yani the original order is what? Sayyaratun andahu. Sayyaratun andahu. Sayyaratun andahu. This is the original order. But since the mubtada is indefinite and the khabar is a shibba jumla, in that case it's mandatory that we reverse the order. Whenever the mubtada is not definite, it's indefinite, and the khabar is a shibba jumla, either dharf or harf jar preposition, then it's mandatory to reverse the order. So the order is reversed here. So your question is, what if the sentence begins with a shibba jumla? Just look at the khabar. If the khabar is, yani here, it is yani a noun, then it is a nominal sentence. Alright, so this is a nominal sentence, yani sayyaratun indahu. But in Arabic, you can't begin with sayara because it's indefinite, and the khabar is a shibba jumla, so the order is reversed. But this is the mubtada here. And this mubtada is a noun, therefore this is a nominal sentence. This is a ism, so it's a jumla ismiya. Jumla ismiya. Alright, so let's go back to the real Arabic proper sentence, right? With the order being reversed. عندهُ سيارةٌ. Let's look at the Arab, what they said here. They said, عند is ظرفٌ. Adverb. شبه جملة. خبرٌ مقدم. Okay, so with this, عند is really the خبر. But it's advanced, so it's called خبر مقدم. مقدم. يعني not مقدمون. Be careful that you don't put كسرة on that. يعني دال. مقدم means the one who advances something. مقدم with فتح means that which has been advanced. There's a difference, right? The one who does it and the one that it's done to. And it's like the one who hit and the one who was hit. There's a difference, right? Big difference between them. So there's a big difference between مقدم and the word that we have here, مقدم. يعني mean it has been advanced. It has been advanced. يعني مقدم, it has been advanced. Ahead of its place. Instead of it coming second, it came first. Alright, so this is شبه جملة خبر مقدم. And the pronoun who is mudhafun ilayhi majroor, or more specifically we should say pronouns are all mabniyun, right? So we say it's mudhafun ilayhi mabniyun, mabniyun fi mahalli jar. Because mudhafun ilayhi is always majroor, right? But this is a pronoun, pronouns are mabniyun, so we say it is mabniyun in the place where it should be majroor, fi mahalli jar, fi محلي in the place of جر الجر يعني where should be مجرور genitive case. Alright, so let's look at it again. عند is ظرف شبه جملة خبر is the خبر مقدم advance and the ضمير who is مضاف إليه يعني in the place where should be مجرور مضاف إليه in the place where should be مجرور. سيارة is مبتدأ مؤخر مبتدأ مؤخر يعني it's the subject of the sentence that has been delayed, but as the subject its case is what? It's مرفوع, and the sign that it's مرفوع is what? ضمة. نعم.
So if you were to make سيارة definite,
if you were to make it definite, right, let's say we make سيارة definite, we say السيارة تو عنده. Okay, we made it definite. Now what? You can say that. It's permissible, but it's not mandatory. What is يعني the original rule is that the مبتدأ should come first, but it's permissible as long as to reverse the order of مبتدأ and خبر. It's permissible. Here it's not permissible. It's mandatory because the مبتدأ is indefinite. Here it's permissible to change the order. It's not mandatory. But the original order is like this, السيارة عنده. But is it permissible to change the order? As long as the meaning is not confused by changing the order. Yani the person doesn't get confused that this is the khabar when you change the order. As long as they don't get confused by that, then it's permissible, it's jaiz to change the order.
Because my question is, if you say عنده السيارة, would that make it more specific?
Yani would it make it more specific? نعم.
بيده الخبر
مقدم.
بيده الملك makes it gives it تخصيص.
Yeah, it's a type of حصر. يعني when you put the خبر first. يعني like limiting the meaning to يعني عنده, يعني in this case, yeah, it's a type of تخصيص maybe, yeah, it's حصر, you know, when you advance the خبر ahead of its time, يعني نعم, like you say لله الأسماء الحسنى, يعني the original rule الأسماء الحسنى لله, when you say لله that makes it يعني it limits its meaning, يعني specifies it belonging to Allah alone, so that يعني it's not يعني الأسماء الحسنى لله ولغيره, no, لله الأسماء الحسنى. Fair is finished, closed. Anyway, this is a little bit advanced for this class right here. That's a little bit ahead of us, you know. But in any case, نعم, that's correct. Yeah, it gives it a little bit different meaning. But in terms of يعني can you change the order? Yes, you can change the order. Meaning it's permissible to change the order like that, to give such a meaning like this. It's permissible to do so. But this is the original order. Huh? Changing the order is permissible, especially if there's some benefit in it. Okay, you can change the order. But here we're saying no. We're not saying it's permissible. We're saying it's mandatory. When the mubtada is indefinite, you must change the order. This way you're talking about here is permissible to change the order. For whatever benefit, whatever reason you want to change the order, and if there's some benefit in doing so, no problem. طيب عنده سيارة عنده الظرف شبه جملة خبر مقدم هو is مضاف إليه in the place where it should be مجرور سيارة is the مبتدا مؤخر يعني it's the مبتدا that has been delayed instead of it coming first it's delayed مؤخر and it is its case is that it is we see that it has ضم right that means that it's مرفوع why is it مرفوع why is the سيارة مرفوع why it must be مرفوع Because it's the Mubtada. Even though it didn't come first, we didn't begin with it. But it is the Mubtada, therefore the Mubtada is always Marfu'un. Okay, these are things that, if you keep hearing it again and again and again, it's supposed to stick in your mind. The whole purpose of a lot of examples like this is so that it sticks in your mind. Mubtada is Marfu'un. Khabar is Marfu'un. Huh? Try to make that stick in your mind. Marfu'un, sign is Marfu'un, Dhamma. Majrurun, Kisra. Mansubun, Fatha. مبتدا خبر شبه جملة جاء والمجرور prepositions ظرف like this hopefully it starts sticking in our mind next example هؤلاء مدرسون notice that the word مدرسون here مدرسون notice that this word يعني without this ending which makes it plural sound plural right is مدرس مدرس and we just got finished saying watch the vowel right يعني this time it has a كسرة huh this word has a كسرة مقدم had a فتة huh this word has a كسرة and this كسرة means that مدرس with كسرة is the one who does the teaching مدرس with فتحة would be the one that was taught okay meaning that this vowel changing is the difference between the فاعل and the مفعول يعني if it has كسرة it means the one that's doing the action مدرس okay so be careful يعني that you keep that in mind يعني we'll see sometimes some words that really could be confusing like خاطب and I mean مخاطب and مخاطب مخاطب the one who addresses someone and مخاطب the one who's addressed متكلم the one who is speaking متكلم the one who is spoken to that one vowel being changed from كسر الفتح changed the meaning to something the opposite of what is intended so that's why sometimes you have to pay careful attention into the vowels of words okay because it can make a big difference in what is intended now the vowel on the end of a word tells us that it is marfu or mansub or majrur yani as the primary endings primary indications of i'rab and that could make a difference in a sentence that a word is the mubtada or it's the yani the fa'il or it's the maf'ulun bi this is really dangerous that a word that is the fa'il is mistaken to be the maf'ulun bi or the opposite That could really distort the meaning completely. And then if we're reading Quran or reading hadith or studying out something in the religious text, and it could completely corrupt the meaning. And it just by one vowel being changed. And there are examples of this. طيب هؤلاء المدرسون يعني مدرس is the ism fa'il, the one who does the tadris, who does the teaching. مدرس هؤلاء مدرسون These are teachers. هؤلاء اسم الإشارة مبتدع. اسم الإشارة مبتدع. What is it? It's a اسم إشارة, demonstrative pronoun, pointing to something, right? It's a plural. هؤلاء these. Huh? And it's the مبتدع, the subject of the sentence. Therefore, we say its case is what? مَبَنِيٌ All the Asma Ishara except the duals and pronouns except the duals are all مَبَنِيٌ So هَؤُلَاءِ is the مُبْتَدَى It's مَبَنِيٌ in the place where it should be مَرْفُوعٌ فِي مَحَلِّ رَفْ In the place في محل الرفع, in the place where it should be مرفوعٌ, nominative case. Because it's what? مبنيٌ. Pronouns and أسماء إشارة, except the duals of the أسماء إشارة, are مبنيٌ. مدرسون is the خبر, and the خبر is مرفوعٌ. And the sign that is مرفوعٌ here is what? مدرسون. The sign that it's مرفوعٌ is فتح. Wow. Because this is a special kind of word, right? We always keep saying that the primary sign of being مرفوعٌ is ضمة. Why I keep saying that? Because there are secondary signs. So the sound masculine plural, it has secondary signs for إعراب. It's not فتح كسر and ضمة. Rather it's wow or yeah. You say مدرسون or مدرسين. If you say مدرسون, the sign of its إعراب is wow. That means it's مرفوعٌ. The wow is the sign that it's مرفوعٌ in the sound masculine plural. If it had كسرة, that would be the sign that it's either مجرور or منسوب. يعني the sound masculine plural, if it has wow, that means it's مرفوعٌ. If it has yeah, that means it's مجرور or منسوب. Either one of them. Alright, so the sign of its إعراب here is not ضمة. It's not فتح, it's not كسرة. It's not the last letter. Rather, it's the long vowel just before the noon. Okay, you say مسلمون إن المسلمين. إن المسلمين. مسلمون, right, is مرفوعٌ. مسلمين is منسوب because of إن. So مسلمين, the sign that is منسوب is a ya in it. إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات. مؤمنين is originally مؤمنون, but it's not مرفوعٌ here. So it has to change from wow to yeah. Okay, in any case, that for now is not any our subject, but we'll come to the sound masculine plurals yani as we go along before we finish this review. But for now, yani just a note, this is an example of a word that doesn't have a primary sign of إعراب. It has a secondary sign. Okay, it's secondary signs. Secondary signs are different than the primary signs. The primary signs are ضمّ كسر فتح. Secondary signs are other things besides that. Different types of words have different types of secondary signs. Okay, the first, second, third, fourth example. Fourth example, لي أخ واحد. لي أخ واحد. لي أخ واحد. واحد. لي أخ واحد. What is the meaning? I have one brother, or belongs to me, literally belongs to me, لي belongs to me, أخ واحد, one brother. Okay, so I have one brother, لي أخ واحد. First of all, is this a جملة فعلية or جملة اسمية? And does it begin with a noun or does it begin with a verb? It's a jumla ismiya, right? Because this li is a shibba jumla, ja wal majroor. It's a shibba jumla. So it's muqaddam, advanced. And the khabar is actually akhun. And akhun is a noun. So this is a ism, a jumla ismiya. Li akhun wahidun. Li is harf jar, preposition. The ya is called ya'u al-mutakallimu. Mutakalli with kasra. Mutakallimu, the speaker. The ya for the first person singular. Meaning the speaker, the one who's speaking. Singular. Ya al-mutakallim. This is ism majroor. This ya after the lam with kasra. Li, the ya is ya al-mutakallim. Meaning the ya that represents the first person singular speaker. And it is ismun majroor. Naam, you have a question? Naam, ya al mutakallimi. I'm sorry. Ya al mutakallimi. Why is it ya al mutakallimi? Mudafan ilay. Ya is mudaf, mutakallimi is mudafan ilay. Jazakallah khair. Naam, alright? So, ya here is ya'u al mutakallimi. Ismun majroorun. More specifically, we should say it is ismun. Or we should say it is, instead of ism majroor, we say it is a damir. Ya is a damir. It's first person, singular, representing ana. Representing ana. It's a pronoun. Attached pronoun. So we say it is damir. And the damir's pronouns are all mabniyun. So we say here, Ya al-Mutakallam is a dhamir mabniyun fi mahalli jar. Because it's following a preposition, the object of the preposition. So it's fi mahalli jar, yani, it's in the place where it should be majrur. In the place where it should be majrur. Because it's following the preposition li. Okay? Together the preposition and the dhamir, the pronoun li, is a shibba jumla khabarun muqaddamun, muqaddamun with fatta, muqaddamun. Okay, it's shibba jumla, yani a prepositional phrase, because it's with a preposition li, right? Prepositional phrase, and it's the khabar of the sentence, but it's muqaddam, advanced, it's coming first instead of second. And after that we have أخٌ مُبْتَدَأٌ مُؤَخَّرٌ with فَتَّة مُؤَخَّرٌ مُبْتَدَأٌ مُؤَخَّرٌ, meaning it's the subject of the sentence that has been delayed from its place. It came second instead of first. And the مُبْتَدَأ is always what case? مُبْتَدَأ is always مَرْفُوعٌ, and the sign that is مَرْفُوعٌ is ضَمَّة. You see أخٌ with ضَمَّة. And then we have وَاحِدٌ, which is describing what kind of brother? One brother. Wahidun. It's a na'at. And the na'at must follow the man'ut, the word that is describing or qualifying. Okay, what kind of brother does he have? He has a number of brothers. Yani what number? One brother. Akhun wahidun. One brother. Alright, any question about this? Li akhun wahidun. Mubtada. Yani the mubtada is delayed here and the khabar is advanced. Naam. It's a na'at. Wahidun is a na'at describing, qualifying the word brother. It's qualifying it, limiting to one. Limiting it to one. One brother. Naam. Naam. If it was sister, you would say li ukhtun wahidatun. Because it's a na'at, right? So wahid has to become feminine now if it's describing ukht. Ukht is feminine. So wahid would have to be, instead of wahidun, wahidatun with ta marbuta. Naam. Okay. Tayyib. Okay, so where are we at? We're on the next to the last example. There's one more example in this right column. We'll come to that one after the salat. We're going to stop here, inshallah. We'll begin on page 24, column A. Last example on the right column. Last example, هذا من فضل الله after the salat. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. This is our second part of the 16th session for basic Arabic grammar review. Before the salat, we picked up where we left off last week on page 23. We continued with the examples of simple grammatical analysis of sentences. We did some examples, those examples which remained on page 23. And we started to do the examples on page 24. We started with the right column examples, and we reached up to the last example on the right column on page 24. So we're going to pick up where we left off. The last example on the bottom of the page, right column, page 24. And if anybody came late, what we've been doing is looking at grammatical analysis, the i'rab of simple sentences, and primarily we're looking mostly at the jumla ismiya. Yani, and what we mean by jumla ismiya, we mean the sentence that begins with a ism, yani a noun. And that type of sentence is primarily composed of two essential components, that is the mubtada and the khabar. And we said both mubtada and khabar are marfu'un. The primary sign of them being marfu'un is dhamma. Primary sign, a word that's marfu'un is dhamma. We also may be looking for a preposition, ja' wal majrur, or we might be looking at a dharf, an adverb, and the noun that's connected to it in idalfa, which is also majrur. Yani the noun following the preposition is majrur, and the word that's connected to an adverb mudalfun ilayhi is also majrur. Some nouns have fixed endings. We say that they are mabniyun, mabniyun. So in that case, the word that's mabniyun, we don't say it's marfu'un, rather we say it's in the place where it should be marfu'un, or in the place where it should be mansub, or in the place where it should be majrur. So we say fi mahalli raf, if it is in the place where it should be marfu'un, and fi mahalli jar, if it's in the place where it should be majrur, and fi mahalli nasb, if it's in the place where it should be mansub. Okay, the last example, right hand column, page 24. Hadha min fadlillahi. Hadha min fadlillahi. Okay, this is a simple sentence. هذا من فضل الله. Okay. We see that this sentence begins with a verb or with a noun. Which? Okay, begins with a ism, a noun. So that means if it begins with an ism, it's a jumla ismiya. So we're looking for mubtada and khabar. Okay, we're looking for mubtada and khabar. So it says here, هذا من فضل الله. Meaning, this is from the grace or favor of Allah. Hadha in this sentence is ismu al-isharati mubtada'un. Yani hadha in this sentence is ism ishara. Is an ism ishara. Yani demonstrative pronoun. And it is also the mubtada. And the mubtada is marfu'un, but yani the ism asma al-ishara, except the duals, they're all mabniyun. So we don't say that this is mubtada marfu'un, rather we say this is mubtada, yani ism ishara mubtada mabniyun fi mahalli raf, fi mahalli raf, yani in the place where it should be marfu'un. Tayyib, after this we have min, which is harf jar preposition, and after it we have the object of the preposition, fadli, fadli. So we say fadlun ism majrur. Why is it ism majrur? Because it's the object of the preposition. Wahua mudawfun. And also, not only is it the ism majrur, the object of the preposition, but it's also the first part of a construct phrase. So we say it is mudawfun. The first part of a construct phrase is mudawfun, and the second part is mudawfun ilayhi. So we say huwa ism majrur, and because of the preposition min, and it's also mudawfun. And then we have lafz al-jalala, and the lafz al-jalala, it is mudawfun ilayhi. Yani it is lafz al-jalala, it is mudawf ilayhi for the fadl, mudawfun ilayhi. And we say the mudawfun ilayhi is always majroor. The sign that it is majroor is kasra, kasra. Naam. After this, it says min fadlillahi, yani the preposition and what follows it, the prepositional phrase min fadli, yani is shibu jumla khabar, yani it's a shibu jumla prepositional phrase. Yani the two types of shibu jumla, right? Prepositional phrase and adverbial phrase. Any phrase that begins with a preposition, one that begins with an adverb. This is a prepositional phrase because it begins with a preposition. So this shibh jumla, prepositional phrase, is the khabar of this sentence. It's the khabar. And we could add, yani, that the shibh jumla as a khabar, the whole shibh jumla as a khabar, is in the place where it should be marfu'un, naam, raf, fi mahalli raf. Because it's the khabar, right? And the khabar is marfu'un, but this is not a single word, so we say it is shibh jumla fi mahalli raf, as the khabar, khabar. And fi mahalli raf. Well, it's not necessary to mention that at this point, but in case any somebody thought of that, yes, that's what it would be. It would be fi mahalli raf, as the khabar. Any question about this example? Hadha min fadlillahi. This is from the grace or favor, bounty of Allah. Hadha is ism ishara, mubtada, mamniyun, fi mahalli raf. Min harf jar, fadl ism majroor, and it is also the first part of idafa construction, mudaf, and the lafz al-jalala is mudafun ilayhi majroor. Sign that it's majroor is kasra, and this whole expression Yani the shibh jumla, prepositional phrase, is the khabar. Yani khabar fi mahalli raf. Okay, going to the left column, top of the page, 24, left column. Abi tajirun kabirun. Abi tajirun kabirun. Okay, this is also quite simple sentence, right? Abi tajirun kabirun. Abi tajirun kabirun. Now, as far as the analysis of this sentence, Abi tajirun kabirun. My father is a big merchant. My father is a big merchant. The first part of the sentence, yani of course, we're looking again for jumla ismiya, right? Because this sentence begins with a noun, ab. So the first part of the sentence is ab, which is the mubtada'un, wa huwa mudhafun. Yani why are we saying it's mudhaf? Because it is connected to something in idhafa, right? The father, abi, yani is composed of ab. Right, it's composed of ab, and this pronoun, ya al mutakallimi, ya al mutakallimi, composed of two parts, composed of ab, and it's composed of ya al mutakallim, yani the first person singular pronoun representing ana. So abi has two parts. The first part ab is the mudhaf. And the ya al-mutakallam, the pronoun, is mudafun ilayhi. Alright, so they said, ab in this sentence is the mubtada wa hu mudaf. And ya is ya al-mutakallami, mudafun ilayhi. Mudafun ilayhi. The mudaf ilayhi is always majroor, but here this is a pronoun, right? So pronouns are what? Mabniyun. Fi mahalli jar. Fi mahalli jar. Yani, it's mudafun ilayhi, but it's mabniyun, so it's in the place where it should be majroor, fi mahalli jar. Alright? So this mudaf and mudafun ilayhi, the mudaf is the mubtada, and the second part of this expression, the ya al mutakallam, is mudafun ilayhi. After that, we have tajirun, which is the khabar. Tajirun is the khabar, and we say the khabar is always marfu'un, and the sign that is marfu'un is Dhamma. So you have tajirun, tajirun. It's marfoon, and the sign alamatu, yani raf'ihi, the sign of it being marfoon is dhamma. And after this we have kabirun, tajirun, kabirun. What kind of tajir? A big merchant. So kabirun is a na'at or sifa describing the tajir. What kind of tajir? Kabirun. And the na'at always follows the man'ut, the word that is describing or qualifying. Since tajirun is marfu'un, khabar is marfu'un, then the na'at describing it also has to be marfu'un. So we see tajirun ending with dhamma, and kabirun also ending with dhamma. And again, we say that, yani nouns generally speaking, but there are exceptions, generally speaking, the noun either takes alif lam or tanween. If it has alif lam, it's not going to have tanween at the same time, right? If it has tanween, it's not going to have alif lam. So here we see tajirun has tanween, and kabirun has to agree with it, also has tanween. The sign that is marfoon is dhamma. It doesn't matter if it's a single dhamma or a double dhamma, right? If it has alif lam, it's going to have a single dhamma. If it doesn't have alif lam, it's going to have a double dhamma. But the point is not, is it single dhamma or double dhamma? What's the point? That is dhamma. It's dhamma or kasra fatha. That's what we're concerned about. So the sign that is marfoon is dhamma. Now, there you are, the sign. Now, yeah, this is outside of the simple grammatical analysis, but anyway, we'll just say, for your sake, we'll say that ab here, wa alaykum salam, is mudafun ilayhi, right? And it's mudaf, and it's mubtada, and it's mudaf. As mubtada, then we say that it is marfu'un. But the sign of it being marfu'un, yani we don't see the dhamma here in abi, right? We see that in this word abi,
Yeah, and it has kasra on the ba. And that kasra is not the sign of its i'rab. That kasra is not a sign that it's majroor. Rather, that kasra is necessitated by ya al-mutakallam. Ya al-mutakallam has to always be preceded by kasra. The letter before ya al-mutakallam is always going to be kasra. So when words are mudaf ila ya al-mutakallam, then the i'rab of it is going to be taqdiri. It's going to be estimated. Okay, so we say that the i'rab, and you're not, it's not necessary for everybody to any follow this point, because he asked the question, so he has to follow it. But the rest of everybody else is exempt. Everybody else is exempt. Okay, because this is like more advanced, right? I'rab. And we're doing simple grammatical analysis here. But we say that the i'rab of ab is that it is mubtada marfu'un. The sign of it being marfu'un is dhamma muqaddara. Yani it's dhamma that's estimated. We don't see it. It's dhamma muqaddara. Yani, but we don't see it because why? Because it's in idafa to ya al-mutakallam, which requires it to take kasra. The ya al-mutakallam requires it to take kasra. That kasra is not a sign that it's majroor. That kasra is just necessitated for the ya al-mutakallam. But the real yani sign of its i'rab is understood. It's estimated. It's not seen. It's dhamma muqaddara. Muqaddara means it's estimated to be. It's understood to be dhamma that we don't see. It's not vahira. We don't see the dhamma. But it's estimated. Okay, so don't worry about that now. That's only for sake of the question. The questioner. Now. Alright. After this, second example. Second example. Ghurfatu akhi amama ghurfati. Oh, free sneakers. Okay. On the up there? Okay, yeah. Mashallah, I need a pair of sneakers. Any of them big ones? No, only small ones for the children? Okay. Jazakallah khair. May Allah reward you generously. Anybody got children? Take a look. There's some free sneakers up there. Jazakallah khair. From the merchant, the Tajir Kabir. Tajirun Kabirun, giving away free sneakers. Jazakallah khair. Tayyib, naam, Gurfatu Akhi Amama Gurfati. Alright, Gurfatu Akhi. Yani, we see that there's an idafa construction here. And then, Amama Gurfati, we have a dharf. And the noun that follows it is Mudafan Ilayhi. Okay, my brother's room, or the room of my brother, is in front of my room. Is in front of Amama Gurfati, my room. Okay, Gurfatu is Mubtada'un. وهو مضاف يعني as مبتدأ it should be its إعراب is that it is مرفوع and the sign that is مرفوع is ضمة نعم but it's also مضاف it's the first part of a مضاف for construction so the word following it أخ أخي which is composed of أخ and يا المتكلم like أبي is أب and يا المتكلم أخي is أخ and يا المتكلم so أخ is the مضاف إليه يعني connected to غرفة غرفة أخي أخ is مضاف إليه مجرور يعني the sign that is مجرور is what? يعني it should be كسرة but in reality that كسرة is required by يا المتكلم so the sign of its إعراب again is estimated يعني we say we don't have to, this is not important here at this point. We're doing simple grammatical analysis, but since it came twice back to back, we'll repeat it. Yani the i'rab of akh is that it is mudafun ilayhi majroor. The sign of it being majroor is kasra muqaddara. Muqaddara. Muqaddara, estimated kasra. It's not visible. It's not vahira. It's not seen. But that kasra that's there is only necessitated because it, yani the word akh, is mudaf to ya al-mutakallam. Because it's mudaf to ya al-mutakallam, and ya al-mutakallam must be preceded by kasra. So then after akh, we have ya al-mutakallam, which is mudafun ilayhi, connected to it in idafa. And it is, yani, they said majroor, but we say it is what? Ya al-mutakallam is a pronoun. And pronouns are all what? Mabniyun, fixed. And therefore we say it's in the place where it should be majroor. In the place where it should be majroor. مُضَافٌ إِلَيْهِ مَبْنِيٌ فِي مَحَلِّ جَرْ مَبْنِيٌ فِي مَحَلِّ جَرْ In the place where it should be جَرْ مَجْرُور
After this, يعني the room of my brother is أمام غرفتي. أمام is ظرفٌ, showing, it's an adverb showing place, right? Where is it? In front of. And the word following it is غرفة. أمام غرفة أو غرفتي. And غرفة is مضافٌ إليه مجرور. And it is also مضاف, a complex إضافة, right? It's also, it's مضافٌ إليه to أمام. And then it is مضاف for يا المتكلم. Alright, so let's look at it again. We say أمام is a ظرف. And this is the beginning of a شبه جملة, adverbial phrase. Adverbial phrase, because ظرف is a ظرف. يعني أمام is an adverb. So we say it's شبه جملة خبر. يعني it's a شبه جملة. And it is also the خبر of this sentence. And the خبر, يعني generally we say it is مرفوع, right? But because it's an adverb, adverbs are mansoob. And that's their mabniun, their mansoob. That's why we see amama and not amamu. And it's the khabar, right? So the khabar should be marfoon, but here we see amama. It's not marfoon, it has fatha. Because it's a dharf. And the dharuf are mansoob, generally speaking, unless they are mabniun. Unless some of them are mabniun, dhamm, kasr, fatha, whatever. But here, yani it is mansoob. Okay, it's not written mansoob, but anyway, the dharf, the dharuf are all mansoob, so it is mansoob with fatha. And then this shibah jumla is the khabar of the sentence, along with what? Ghurfati, which is mudhafun ilayhi, majroor, or we say mudhafun ilayhi, yani it's majroor, na'am, but the sign of it being majroor, again, is مقدر, يعني because it's مضاف إلى يا المتكلم. So يعني the كسرة in غرفتي is really necessitated by يا المتكلم. Therefore it's إعراب غرفة. We say it's مضاف إليه مجرور, and the sign that it's مجرور is كسرة مقدرة. And then it is also مضاف to يا المتكلم مضاف إليه مجرور. يا المتكلم is مضاف إليه, يعني ضمير مبني في محل جر. يعني instead of saying it is مجرور, we say it's in the place where it should be مجرور. Anyway, this إعراب that we explained here is a little bit complex, يعني, but what's really important is what they have mentioned here. The rest of it is extra, don't worry too much about it for now. But the first thing you should know is غرفة is مبتدا. You have to know that it's مبتدا. مبتدا is مرفوع. The sign that is مرفوع is ضمة. And it is also مضاف. It's the first part of a مضاف construction connected to أخي. And أخ is مضاف إليه, يعني in the place where it should be. Well, it is مجرور, نعم. But the sign of it being مجرور, because of being مضاف to يا المتكلم, is a مقدر. Don't worry about that. But it's مضاف. يا المتكلم is مضاف إليه. And the مضاف إليه is يعني either مجرور in the place where it should be مجرور. Since it's a ضمير, it's مبنيون in the place where it should be مجرور. أمام is a ظرف, and the ظروف are all منسوب unless they are مبنيون. So it's منسوب, that's why it has فتح. And it is the خبر. And along with the مضاف إليه غرفة, together they are the شبه جملة, يعني adverbial phrase, يعني in the place, يعني as a خبر in the place where it should be مرفوع. يا المتكلم is مضاف إليه, and it is يعني a pronoun, ضمير, ضميرز are مبنيون, so we say it's مبنيون, مضاف إليه مبنيون في محل جر, in the place where it should be مجرور. Okay, it's a little, يعني there's a little bit complexity to this example. I don't think it's the best example they could have gave for simple grammatical analysis, but in any case, that's what it is. And if you didn't get it all, don't worry too much about it. As long as you understand the basics of the analysis here, that is, what is the mubtada and what is the khabar? And mubtada is marfoon and khabar is marfoon. Or some of these words might be mabniun, so they're in the place where they should be marfoon, or in the place where they should be majroorun. As long as you understand that concept, that's sufficient. That's sufficient. Any question? Any question? Okay. Now, after this, we have third example, left column, page 24. أنا في المدرسة الثانوية. أنا في المدرسة الثانوية. Okay, I am
in the secondary school. يعني المدرسة الثانوية is secondary school or high school. High school يعني المدرسة الابتدائية يعني from بدأ يعني the school that you begin with, that's elementary school or primary, and الثانوية is secondary or high school. And junior high school is what? مدرسة متوسطة. يعني in between, right? In between primary and secondary. In between elementary and high school. طيب أنا في المدرسة الثانوية. أنا is مبتدأ. في is حرف جر. المدرسة is اسم مجرور. The object of the preposition. الثانوية is a نعت describing المدرسة. And this whole phrase في المدرسة الثانوية, or at least the first two words في المدرسة, يعني is the جاء والمجرور شبه جملة خبر. خبر of the مبتدأ. خبر of the مبتدأ أنا. خبر of the مبتدأ أنا. يعني the meaning is يعني أنا في المدرسة. I am in the school or the high school if we want to describe مدرسة. Okay, so أنا is the subject, مبتدأ, and في المدرسة, this whole expression, this prepositional phrase, شبه جملة, يعني is the خبر. Alright, so we have أنا, مبتدأٌ, مبتدأٌ is مرفوعٌ, the sign that is مرفوعٌ should be ضمّة, right? But أنا is a pronoun, so we say it is مبنيٌ في محل رفع. In the place where it should be marfu'un. Ana is mubtada. That's what you need to know. But you also need to know that the mubtada is always marfu'un. Unless it's mabniun, then we say it's in the place where it should be marfu'un. So we don't see the dhamma here. Why? Because it's mabniun. Ana is mabniun ala sukun. Yani the last letter of it is sukun. The alif. After this, fi is harf jar. That's mandatory to know. And we must know that the noun after the harf jar, after the preposition, is ism majroor fi al-madrasa ti. And then al-thanawiyya ti is a not describing what type of madrasa? Secondary school. And then this whole expression, madrasa ti thanawiyya ti is shibha jumla. It's the khabar of the mubtada ana. Okay, what do you want to say about ana? I am what? In the school, the high school. Any question? Question. طيب, the last example on this page. إطاعة الرسول إطاعة الله. يعني meaning, obedience to the messenger is obedience to Allah. Where is this in the Quran? No, not this. I mean the meaning of this. وَمَنْ يُطِيعُ نَا وَمَنْ يُطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ وَمَنْ يُطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ. And he's saying obedience to the messenger is obedience to Allah. Whoever obeys the messenger, he has obeyed Allah. وَمَنْ يُطِيعُ الرَّسُولَ, whoever obeys the messenger, فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ, he has obeyed Allah. طيب, إِطَاعَةُ الرَّسُولِ يعني this sentence begins with a noun, right? Therefore, it's a nominal sentence, جملة اسمية. إطاعة الرسول, this is an إضافة construction, right? And إطاعة الله is also an إضافة construction. So we have two إضافة constructions here. مضاف, مضاف إليه. إطاعة is مبتدأ وهو مضاف. It's مبتدأ and it is also مضاف to the next word, following it, right? الرسول, which is مضاف إليه مجرور. And إطاعة, again, is the second إطاعة is خبر, is the خبر of the sentence. But it is also مضاف to the next word following it, لفظ الجلالة, which is مضاف إليه مجرور. Alright, so we have the مضاف and the مضاف إليه مجرور twice. The first مضاف is the مبتدا, and the second مضاف is the خبر. And both of them have a مضاف إليه. So إطاعة is مبتدا مرفوع. مبتدا مرفوع. The sign that is مرفوع is ضمة. إطاعة. And it's مضاف. So it's مضاف إليه is الرسول. يعني which is مضاف إليه مجرور. The sign that is مجرور is كسرة. The خبر is the second إطاعة. The خبر. Huh? خبر. إطاعة. خبر is always مرفوع. The sign that is مرفوع is ضمة. And the word that follows it, مضاف إليه. لفظ الجلال is مضاف إليه. مجرور. The sign that is مجرور is كسرة. Any question? Any question? Alright. The Jumla Ismiya is composed of two parts. I want somebody to answer these questions. This is new to you. Not who already knew it already. People who didn't know it. You're learning it now for the first time. Huh? Mubtada and no, yeah, Mustafa. This is not new to you, right? It's not new to you.
Oh, I know how this sounds.
No problem, no problem. It's all right. It's all right. It's not a sin. It's not a crime or anything. I just want to hear from some of those who are learning this for the first time. I want to see, are you, you know, catching it? All right. That's really okay. So we said that the Jumla Ismiya is composed of two essential parts. One of them is the Mubtada and the other one is Khabar. If you know this already, you knew it already, don't answer, please. Don't answer. Leave it to the others to answer, okay? Mubtada and Khabar. And what is the case for the Mubtada? We say it is Mansoob or Majroor or what? Marfoon. And the Khabar, its case is what?
Marfoon.
Also Marfoon. And the sign of a word being Marfoon is what?
Dhamma.
Okay? If the word is following a preposition, we say its case is what? Majroor. Following a preposition, it's Majroor. And the sign of a word being Majroor is? Kasra. What if the word follows a dharf, an adverb? Then what is its case? The word that follows the adverb. It takes kasra, but that's the sign of it being what? Majroor. Why is it majroor though? Why is the word following a dharf majroor? Mudafan ilayhi. Mudafan ilayhi. Alright, so we have two kinds of words here that are majroor. We have one that's mudafan ilayhi. And we have another one that's the object of a preposition. Ism majroor following a preposition. So if we see a preposition, we know the word following it is going to be majroor, and the sign of being majroor is kasra. If we see an adverb, a dharf, we know that the word following it is mudhafun ilayhi. It's connected to it in idhafa, and that's also majroor, and the sign that is majroor is kasra. As far as the adverb itself, generally adverbs are mansoob. That means they take fatha. That's why you have fawqa, and you have tahta, above and below. You have amama, in front of, khalfa, behind, like this, okay? Because these are adverbs showing position or place, and adverbs generally are mansoob with fatha. Sometimes, some of them are mabniyun though, okay? Alright, let's go on to the next page, page 25. Let's do a few of these examples. Whatever we don't finish, please do them for homework on page 25 and page 26. Okay, try to make a note. Yeah, I need that. Whatever we don't finish on page 25 and 26, do them for homework. So in the next class, we can finish them and start the new topic on page 27, which is the dual and the sound masculine and feminine plurals. The dual, muthanna, and the sound masculine plurals and sound feminine plurals. That's going to be the next topic that we're going to look at next week. Inshallah, if we're able to finish Yani, what remains on page 25 and 26 in the beginning of the class next week, we'll do whatever remains, and then we'll go to the new topic on page 27. So in case I don't send you an email telling you what the homework is, I've told you now, okay? Homework is finished. What remains on page 25 and 26, and preview the new topic on page 27 and 28. Alright, page 25, right hand column, top of the page, more examples of simple grammatical analysis of sentences. The first example, Aminatu Zahabat ila al-madrasati. Aminatu Zahabat ila what? Al-madrasati. Aminatu what? ذهبت what? إلى المدرسة المدرسة تي آمينة ذهبت Okay. Aminatu dhahabat ila al-madrasa madrasati ila al-madrasati. Alright? This sentence begins with a noun or a verb? A noun. So what kind of sentence is it? Jumla ismiya. There's a verb in this sentence though. So why don't we say it's a jumla fi'liya? Because it doesn't begin with it. Okay, even though there's a verb there, but it doesn't begin with a verb. It begins with a noun. So that means this is a jumla ismiya. Alright? So we're going to look for a mubtada and a khabar. Look for a mubtada and a khabar. And remember we said that a khabar can be a single word, a mufrad, or it can be a phrase, a jumla, a shibba jumla, like an adverbial phrase or a prepositional phrase. It can also be, we said, it can also be a sentence of either type. It can be a jumla ismiya or a jumla fi'liya. Yani the khabar can be a whole sentence itself. A verbal sentence or a nominal sentence. That's possible. Alright, so with that in mind, let's take a look at this here and see. First sentence. First example. Aminatu dhahabat ila al-madrasati. Amina went to the school. Aminatu is the mubtada, right? Begins the sentence, the subject. Dhahabat is a past tense verb. Fi'lun madin. Past tense verb. Dhahabat is a verb, right? The ta in dhahabat. The ta is ta at-ta'anif. Meaning the ta that indicates femininity. It's not the fa'il, doer of the action. It's the sign that the verb is feminine. It distinguishes dhahaba from, yani he went from she went. Dhahabat. The ta means it's feminine. The fa'il is dhamir mustatirun. Yani, it's a dhamir mustatir. It is hidden. Hidden pronoun. We don't see it. Like in some verbs we see tu, ta, ti. Like these are the pronouns that you see. But the pronoun in dhahaba and dhahabat is hidden. It's called dhamirun mustatirun. In this case, it is understood to be here. Yani who went? She went. Hidden pronoun. Hidden pronoun. Okay? So we have dhahaba is the fi'l madin and ta is the sign of femininity. And the fa'il, we don't see it. It's hidden. Dhamir mustatir, understood to be here. Yani he went. She went. Here. Here is not he. It's he is she, right? Tayyib. Ila is harfu jar, preposition. And the word that follows it, the object of the preposition, al-madrasati, is ismun majrurun. And then this whole sentence, dhahabat ila al-madrasati, that whole sentence, the jumla fi'liya, it's a verbal sentence, that whole sentence is the khabar for the mubtada amina. Yani the mubtada amina, what is this khabar? Al-jumla al-fi'liya, the verbal sentence, dhahabat ila al-madrasati. So the subject of the sentence is Amina. And what do we want to say about her? She went to the school. That whole sentence is a khabar. Remember we said the khabar can be a single word. Amina, Amina, yani Muslima. The khabar here, Amina is a Muslima, female Muslim. That's the khabar is a single word. We can say the khabar could be a shibba jumla. Yani like a jar majroor. Amina fil madrasati. Amina is in the school. That whole expression, yani fi al-madrasati, the shibba jumla, that's a khabar. So shibba jumla, I mean a khabar can be a single word, like amina muslimatun, muslimatun, or it can be a shibba jumla, amina fil madrasati, or it could be a sentence, as in this case, dhahabat ila al-madrasati. The whole sentence, verbal sentence, jumla fi'liya is the khabar here. Okay, these different types of khabar, we're going to look at in detail as the last subject of this review. On the last page of this review, we're going to talk about the different types of khabar. But for now, I just want you to have an idea. What they're talking about, this is a khabar. All the khabars we saw before is either a single word or shibba jumla. Now we're seeing a khabar that's a sentence, a complete sentence. Could be a jumla ismiya or jumla fi'liya, as in this case, jumla fi'liya. Alright, so let's look at it one more time. Amina is the mubtada, and the mubtada is always marfu'un. The sign that is marfu'un is dhamma, amina tu. Zahaba is the fi'lun madin, past tense verb, and the ta on the end of it, on the end of zahabat, is the
ta of ta'anith. Ta'anith means that it's mu'annith, and it's feminine. The ta, that's the sign of femininity. The fa'il of this verb, because remember we said a verbal sentence, ذهبت إلى مدرستي is the khabar, it's a jumla fi'liya, it's a whole sentence. يعني ذهبت إلى المدرستي, this is a whole sentence that begins with the fi'l, ذهبت. So it begins with the fi'l, so it's a jumla fi'liya. But we said that the jumla fi'liya has a fi'l and a fa'il, and it may also have a maf'ul and bi. But here there's no maf'ul and bi, but there is a fi'l, ذهبت, and ta is the sign that is feminine. And where's the fa'il? We don't see the fa'il. Yani, if we change the sentence around and said, ذهبت آمينة, if we change the sentence around and said, ذهبت آمينة, right? This would be the fa'il and this would be the fa'il, آمينة. But in this sentence, آمينة is not the fa'il. آمينة is the subject of the sentence, مبتدأ. So here, the fa'il is hidden. The mir mustatir is understood to be hiya, she, which refers back to the mubtada, refers back to the mubtada. All right. So if this was a jumla fa'liya, beginning with a fa'il, this would be the fa'il, subject of the one doing the action. But in this case, since the noun came first, this is a jumla ismiya, and this, the fa'il for this verb, ذهبت, is a hidden pronoun. Dhamir mustatir. Hidden pronoun, taqdiruhu, which is understood to be hiya. Hiya referring back to who? Amina. Alright, so this is what they're saying here. Yani, this is the detailed clarification of it. That the fa'il is a hidden pronoun, which is understood to be here, that refers back to Amina. And then after that we have harf jar, ila, and then we have madrasa, ism majroor, and then we said that this whole sentence after Amina, this jumla fi'liya, beginning with the fi'l, ذهبت إلى المدرسة, this whole jumla fi'liya is the khabar of the mubtada Amina. Any question? Yeah, this is probably a little bit more detail than we want to do, but in any case, this is the way they gave it, right? Adam? No. No, muttasil is the opposite of munfasil. Mustatir means hidden. What is the opposite of? Is zahir. Zahir. It is apparent. This is mustatir, hidden. Tayyib, the second example. Na'am, you know what? It's almost the end of the time, right? La yirhamullah man la yirhamun nas. What's the meaning? Allah will not have mercy on whoever doesn't have mercy on the people. Okay, let's have some mercy, inshallah. We're going to stop here. And for homework, you can continue with the second example in the right column on page 25. And the third example, and then the left column, 1, 2, 3, 4 examples. And then the next page, 26, with plenty more detailed examples. Just look at them as best you can. Try to recognize mubtada, khabar, the fi'l and the fa'il, if there's a maf'ul and bi. Try to look at, yani, the different types of khabar. If we see a khabar other than a single word, if we see a shibba jumla, or a whole jumla. Try to look at, yani, dharf. What is connected to the dharf is mudafun ilayhi majroor. And try to pay attention that some words, like some asma al-ishara, except the duals, and pronouns are all mabniyun. So when something is mabniyun, we don't say it's marfu'un. When it says marfu'un here, we understand that to mean, they mean what? It's in the place where it should be marfu'un. In the place where it should be marfu'un. And we say it's mabniyun fi mahalli raf. Mabniyun fi mahalli raf. وفي محل نصب يعني منصوب وفي محل جر مجرور. نعم. Please give some time to this. This is a very important aspect of our review. يعني details of Arab are very important. يعني the more you do it, يعني they gave us a lot of examples, which is good, because the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Arab in the beginning, analyzing the grammatical structure of a sentence in the beginning, it could be difficult and sometimes hard to follow, but the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And by the time we finish all of these examples, everybody should be
Yani somewhat getting it by then. And then after that, we're going to continue to do I'rab forever. Forever. It's never going to stop. And we go to the next level, the next level, the next level, we're going to always be doing I'rab. So it's not like you're going to forget about it after you learned it. You're not going to forget it. Because it's going to be in your face. I don't know if that's appropriate. They say that like that, right? But I don't know if that's what it really means. But that's the way I'm using it anyway. I have my own usage. If that's not the way y'all use it, that's the way we're using it today. You're going to see it a lot. Yani? No way around it? Okay, so no way around it. That's right. There's no way around this I'rab. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.